You may be seated. The psalmist observed that the habit of being thankful to the Lord was good. Tell your neighbor, it is good to be thankful. Listen to what Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2 I say. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Why do we give thanks to the Lord? He's good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Now let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed. How many redeemed of the Lord are here? Let us say so, amen. A proper anticipated expression in remembrance of the purpose and the blessing of Christmas. And the end of verse 2 says, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others, he has redeemed you. And moving on to Psalm 92, says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. And this is the last Sunday of the year. It is good to do what? Give thanks to the Lord. To sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening. No room for worry, anxiety. Amen. I love New King James Version. It says, you thrill me. When is the last time you were thrilled? If we are truly obedient to God, every morning, every evening, we will be thrilled. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. Don't get me wrong. The last term of this year alone, I lost 4 members of my family. 4. One after another before we can recover another, before we can recover another, including my sister's youngest son. But yet we can still raise our voices and say, Lord, you thrill me with all you have done for us. I sing for joy because of what you have done. I will triumph in the works of your hands. You know why even death, which is our last enemy, has been defeated by the Lord? How many believe that? Oh Lord, what great works you do. And how deep are your thoughts? For us to be thankful brings joy to the Father's heart. For us to develop the habit of being thankful will enable us to overcome our negative inclinations and will lead us to face life with a positive and benevolent attitude. For us to be thankful will be a blessing to others. It is indeed a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It would be good for us to give thanks to God for being the kind of God he is. We should be thankful for the Father who revealed his love in the Son and who abides with us at all times as the Holy Spirit. We should be thankful to God for the fellowship of the church. I looked forward coming here this morning. Through the church, we have heard the good news of God's love. In the fellowship of the church, we receive the strength we need for the living of life. We should give thanks to God for this country and for all good men and women who live and work to make it a better country. Pray for the country you live in. We should seek to give thanks to God for the members of our family who have sustained us and who now help to give us a reason for being. I believe many of us have enjoyed the fellowship of the family this Christmas. It is a good thing to give thanks to God for all the good things in life. Now I will open the mic, the floor, or the time, whatever we might call it. We invite you to take a turn in prayer or thanksgiving. Amen. It's you standing before your God. If we can have 10 people, 15 people to pray and give thanks to God, well, that'd be great. We will not call names, but I will if no one stand up. Amen. So let's pray. You know, stand up and just give thanks to God in your own way. Before we wrap up this time of prayer, I would like to invite Sister Onyeka and I believe Ruth. They want to minister to us in.
And it was just appropriate that Jesus came on earth as a baby. We owe him so much, but we don't understand it. And that song kept ringing in my heart. He says, Jesus, you are so good. Jesus, you are so good. What no man can do, you have done it for us. What no man can do, you have done it for us. It's so simple. We're going to sing it.
Bless you, sister. Let's pray. Holy Father, today we would offer to you the thanks of our hearts. We thank you for your greatness and goodness. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the church, family, and fellowship. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the privilege of being able to communicate with you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for every conversation, every drink, every food, every sleep, every rest, every conversation. For this year, which is coming to an end, we thank you. With faith and our gratitude in advance, we want to yield ourselves and surrender all unto you, receiving your grace to lead us into the future through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. A short word. We are in church, aren't we? When we come to church, we listen to the word. What a good time to do that. And we will take communion together as someone has suggested to seal the 2019 and going into 2020. Amen. I read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 7. You might just want to listen if you want to. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. That's not the teaching I meant. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't He leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call others together, his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Christ Jesus came into the world, this world, to reveal the nature and the character of God and his good will for men and women. John's gospel points out that the need for this revelation of God by declaring that no man has yet seen God at any time. He further declares that the only begotten Son of the Father has declared or manifested him. We read in John chapter 1 verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Thank God for Christmas. God with us. Later, Jesus was to respond to Philip's request for knowledge of the Father by saying, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Christ came to show the compassionate and helpful nature of God by coming as a divine physician. He further sought to reveal the nature of God by taking the form of a servant and defining his purpose for being in terms of ministering to the needs of men and women. The primary emphasis for his coming was to be the man's savior, male and female, from the sin that separates them from God and from the sins that disrupt human relationships and bring havoc into life. Today we would look at our Lord as he came to be the divine seeker of man. A great Jewish scholar declares that this is a distinctively new concept of God. Jesus came into a world that had many ideas about God. Some thought of God as being impassive, unconcerned, and unmoved by the needs of men and women. According to this belief, men and women, of course, had to seek God by various methods involving difficulty and hardship. You may be well aware of that. Others thought of God as an evil force which should be either avoided or who might be bribed by certain rituals and sacrifices. You may be well aware of that. Others thought of God as one who was interested only in the very highest and the best type of people. He was concerned only for those who had achieved perfection, they thought. Christ came to reveal a God who is love and who moves out in compassion and mercy toward the fallen, the wayward, the lost, and the needy. This is a revolutionary concept of God. Christ came to reveal the God who seeks the sinners. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ does not seek the sinner in wrath, nor in order to criticize or condemn them. John chapter 3 verse 17 says, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Christ describes himself as the good shepherd who seeks the lost sheep. Christ came through the darkness of the night, seeking the boat of the disciples in the midst of a storm. Are you going through a storm? He's right there. In the darkness of your hour, he is there seeking to have his way in, knocking. John chapter 6 from verse 19. They had rode three or four miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid." Maybe one or two of us today need to hear these words from the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am here. I am here. Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at the destination. Be eager to let Jesus in your boat. And you see the Bible say, and suddenly they reached the destination. Christ sought out the hated Zacchaeus in order that he might reveal God's love for this man. Zacchaeus had lost the way home. He was a con man, to use the terms of today, a hustler. If you owed any tax, you wouldn't go to Zacchaeus. You'd rather come to Jules. Just kidding. He needed a new heart, a new happiness, and a new home. And Jesus made it possible for him. One of the most beautiful pictures of Christ to be found in the New Testament portrays him as the one who comes seeking to bring the blessings of heaven into the lives of men and women. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says this, Look, I stand at the door and knock. Look. Sometimes we don't. Only when Moses looked into the fire burning in the bush, then God spoke to him. Look. You have to look, children. Anybody under the age of 20, put your hands up. I'm serious. A little higher. I know you can do that. You can do better than that. Well, some adults want to be under 20. They can do the same. Raise it up. Listen to your parents, okay? Listen to your good adults. Listen to them. As we listen to the voice of the Father, our Heavenly Father, let us all listen. Jesus says, look. Ponder this word. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You see, this word look is so important for us. Elijah, in his depression, did not see the goodness of the Lord around him. Kill me, Lord. But Lord made things happen. Open his eyes, he saw. Look, Hagar was lost in the wilderness somewhere. We don't know the location precisely. She was a homeless woman sent away by the man who fathered her son, to the point of letting her son die without even attending his funeral. Lord, kill me before my son die. Look around just nearby. Water was awaiting. Look, sometimes we suffer because we simply do not look. We do not give God the opportunity to engage with us. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. We're having a lot of meals nowadays. I am. Seriously speaking, literally, nothing prophetic about it. This is true. My belt hole has moved 2 holes away. As we ending this year and going into the new one, oh Father, open our eyes that we will see. Christ continues to seek the sinners. He seeks to bring a change in our basic attitudes and ambitions for his goodness. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? God seeks his wayward children through the pain of chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12 says, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by the father? God's chastisement is not vindictive. It is redemptive and creative in its purpose. God seeks the sinner by means of his divine spirit, which came on the day of Pentecost and which dwells in the church. By means of his church, the Lord would seek the sinners that he might bless them and help them. The Lord will have his church be engaged in the ministry of inviting the hungry world to come to the banquet table. Many people live an unfortunate life of waste, sin and drug addictions, different other vices. They flee from the goodness of God. Their lack of faith and trust in the goodness of God caused them to fear the consequences of a full surrender to the purpose of God for their lives. God is not seeking to devour men and women, but to bless them. How different would our life be if we yield ourselves in an attitude of loving trust and cooperation with the persistent love of God? How do we respond to his search, his seeking? One can respond with a stark unbelief at the point of just not believing that God cares for them. One can flee in fear because of sin or of a lack of confidence in the motives of God who comes seeking us. One can respond to the seeking Savior with an attitude of resentment. One can respond or not and just spend their life fleeing from the seeking Savior. Many follow a policy of postponement. They delay their encounter with the Christ who comes to seek them. How will you respond to the Savior who comes seeking us day by day in order that he might bring the blessings of God into our lives and use us to be the channel of God's blessings in the lives of others? How would you respond? How will you respond? It will be wise to welcome him day by day. It will be tremendous to just trust him wholeheartedly and to cooperate with him fully. What a great way to prepare ourselves before entering the new year. He wants to clothe himself with our body. Think of that. Christ wants to clothe himself with our body in order that he might minister to the needs of people in the world today. If he should need a donkey, how much more you and I? Amen. We are going to take communion. We examine ourselves not to ascertain whether we should take communion or not, but to take it in a worthy manner. It is to be taken in remembrance of him. So we will take a minute of stillness and silence. Let's be quiet for a moment. Let the children do what they do. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of heaven of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.